Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Origin, Vishniak, and The Teacher's Lounge.
I'd like to start off today by talking about Origin, which is a very ambitious film directed by Ava DuVernay. And it's based in sort of a loose way on a book by Isabel Wilkerson, which got quite a lot of play just a few years ago when it came out, a book about the idea of caste, C-A-S-T-E, the idea of social hierarchies that go beyond the conceptions of race that Americans usually have in mind when they think of racism. So that's what this movie is. It is not a documentary based on that nonfiction book. It is a fiction film, or although, you know, kind of a biopic loosely based on real things. And it very much centers on the journalist and author Isabel Wilkerson as she goes about writing this book. So at the beginning of the film Origin, we have Isabel Wilkerson, who was approached to write something about the Trayvon Martin case, that infamous case where a young boy, apparently completely innocent of everything, was gunned down by a vigilante in the street and killed. And it was a huge national cause, and rightly so. A lot of discussion and debate about that not that many years ago. And Isabel Wilkerson is reluctant to do this. She doesn't want to take this on. She feels that she's not really a journalist. She's now an author, having written this important book, a different book, not the book on caste, and that's what she wants to focus on. But eventually she gets drawn into this idea, and eventually in her own mind, the project expands, and she ends up doing this research into the idea of caste that becomes what the movie is really about. And what her basic thought is, her basic impulse is, and what she follows up on, is to, again, get beyond the idea of racism as it's usually thought of by Americans. Yes, she is a black woman. She is an African-American woman. And so, of course, African-American racism against African-Americans plays a very important part in her project, plays an enormously important part in this movie as well. So on that level, this movie is very much about the regrettably traditional American ideas of racism. However, she also becomes very interested in the idea of racial extermination that took place in Nazi Germany, when the Nazis went about exterminating the Jews of their country and of Europe generally, and they hoped of the world at large. And she feels that this is different, which it obviously is in a lot of ways, from African-American racism, that is racism against black Americans, because for one thing, the idea in America was to keep black people subjugated. White people were going to keep black people subjugated and, through capitalism, capitalize on their free labor and on their oppression and on their subjugation, whereas the goal in Nazi Germany was extermination of an entire race, genocide. So that's a difference, and that the movie deals interestingly with that. And then also she gets interested in India, where we have the caste system, which is always called the caste system. And she gets fascinated there by the plight, the predicament, the oppression of the Dalits, the people who used to be known as untouchables. When I was growing up, you'd be taught about the untouchables in India, who had the lowest possible jobs, the lowest social status, they live in poverty, and they have to do demeaning and often filthy jobs for practically no recompense. So that interests her as well. So a lot of the movie is really sort of moving around these three different groups, looking at prejudice against African Americans in the United States, looking at the Nazi genocide project in Nazi Germany in the 20th century, and looking at the plight of the Dalits. And of course, she does travel to India, and she explores the work of a couple of black sociologists who did some pioneering work several decades ago on racism in the American South. And she also goes to India and she meets with a professor there who educates her in the story with the Dalits, and we have various little reenacted things that illustrate all of these different strands of the movie. So all of this is fascinating. Origin is well over 2 hours long. It's almost 2.5 hours long. And I would say that for about an hour and 45 minutes, it's fascinating. It's intelligent. It's thoughtful. It's provocative. It avoids easy answers. And it draws fascinating threads among these three different instances of caste prejudice in the world. Then, to my mind, in the last approximately 45 minutes, maybe half hour, it completely falls apart. Ava DuVernay's best-known movie before now is probably her movie Selma, about 10 years ago, about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I thought it was just not a well-made movie. A wonderful topic, wonderful impulses behind it, but it was just not well-made. It was not gripping. It lost the opportunity to tell a really engaging story. And my gosh, Origin avoids that sort of pitfall for an hour and 45 minutes, and then it sinks into preachiness and sentimentality, and people are weeping and crying, and they're trying to tug at our heartstrings, and that's all okay in its way. But we had up until then a really thoughtful movie that encouraged us all to think, and now we're getting a movie that's telling us in this last bit of the film all we really have to do is feel and feel terrible about all these things, and it's just, in my opinion, to use this phrase again, the movie falls apart. Also, the title, Origin. I kept waiting for this. When are we going to find out what the movie seems to be promising to give us, some insight into the origins of all these different manifestations of class bigotry around the world? And it never even gets close to that. It never fulfills its promise. It never has anything to say about the origins of all this. It's just there. And ultimately, we're supposed to feel bad about it. And, well, the movie then, I just think, really falls into some very superficial and sentimental and even sappy kind of stuff. So I would suggest, if you don't mind doing it, and I don't really suggest this, but go see Origin for about the first hour and 45 minutes when it will make you think, it will give you new ideas, it will really explore its topic or its topics in fascinating, intricate ways, and then close your eyes. Don't pay attention to the last part, which I think is really, really disappointing. So Origin, in part, a really good movie. I'm waiting for an entirely really good movie from Ava DuVernay. I'm afraid Origin is not quite it. It really, really gets close, and then it just doesn't get across the finish line. Next film I'd like to talk about is a genuine documentary, not a sort of a docudrama, Vishniak, directed by Laura Bialas. And this is a movie about Roman Vishniak, a documentary about him, and he was a really fascinating figure. He is best known today as a photographer who took a whole lot of photographs in Germany before the Holocaust began. And then, of course, they became enormously valuable documents once the Holocaust was over, and we could see all these images of Germany moving up to this horrific cataclysm. So that's what he's best known. And he was also a microbiologist. And in the course of the movie, we learn about this fascinating kind of double career that he had. We learn about his work as a scientist. We learn about how he got interested in photography and started taking photographs in very serious ways. In his early years, he took the kinds of photographs that were fashionable in the earlier part of the 20th century, very gauzy and hazy and poetic. But then he moved to a hard edge style that was more in touch with modernist trends in photography, and he took all of these really important photographs that became really important documents, and it's really, really interesting stuff. Then we start to learn other things about Roman Vishniak, partly through interviews with his grown children, partly through interviews with people who knew him, and through archive footage and so forth. He was also a fabulist who made up a whole lot of things about himself. So if you believe things he said over the years, he was a great philosopher. He was not only a scientist in microbiology, but he understood the intricate workings of the inner world of matter. He spoke any number of languages, and this would change depending on who he was talking to at the time, how many languages he would claim that he spoke. So this was all kind of interesting too. In other words, he was a really colorful figure. And the movie traces his life and traces his career. And again, it has interviews with various people who were involved with him. And it's just a very, very interesting movie. It's not a major documentary. I don't think it's going to make major waves. But it's a movie I really just had a good time looking at. It had never occurred to me before to take an interest in Roman Vishniac. It's terrific to see some of his photographs up there on the screen. And it's a little bit interesting to see. He was kind of a pioneer in microbiology too, because he combined the microscope with the camera and got involved in microscopy. And he was sort of a pioneer of that. And that was another very important part of his life and his career and his work. And all this is really interesting to learn about. For me, the most interesting things of all were how this brilliant, brilliant guy who had all these genuine, important accomplishments in his life also managed to just somehow feel he had to make up stories about himself and make himself appear to be even more brilliant and even more versatile and even more magnificent than he actually was. And that's just a really interesting aspect of the film. So, Vishniac, not a major documentary, but a good documentary, and I had a good time looking at it. And hey, you learn some things about the earlier part of 20th century photography and 20th century science, and also you get reminded about the horrors of the Holocaust, about which we can never be reminded too often. Last film today, a movie called The Teacher's Lounge, and this is a movie directed by Ilker Shatak, and it is a German film, and it is a very, very interesting movie, a drama, and I think, by and large, is the strongest of the movies I'm talking about today. So we have the main character. The movie takes place in Germany. The main character is a woman named Carla Nowak. She is from Poland. She is an emigre, and she is teaching in a school in Germany, and she is very idealistic about her teaching, and she really wants to do a wonderful job, and she wants to help kids realize their potential and all of that. They're just ordinary kids. It's an ordinary school, but that's what she's doing. Then, very early in the film, one of her students is accused of stealing. There has been a wave of petty thefts going on around the school. Nobody knows who is doing this stealing, and this one boy gets accused of maybe being the thief. It's not really clear how this accusation comes about, but now all of a sudden this boy is being accused of having pulled off these various thefts. Well, as soon as this happens, the boy's parents come in, very, very indignant. What they say is they gave the boy some extra money. That's why he had extra money in his wallet. It wasn't because he stole anything. And they say it's all because of racism. Remember, this is Germany, and they are a Turkish family. And this Turkish boy has been accused of these thefts. So, okay, now we have something which Americans can certainly relate to, accusation of racism, problems in the classroom, and all of that. However, our main character, Carla Nowak, she actually goes along with this, but now she starts to be afraid that things are going to get stolen from her as well. And so when she is on a break from the teacher's lounge, which is where the movie gets its title, she leaves her laptop computer open with her camera running. So that she, if anybody takes anything out of her jacket pocket, her jacket is hanging over the back of a chair, she will have a record of it on the camera. Maybe she can then find out if anybody steals anything from her, and she can maybe find out who's been doing all of these thefts. Maybe it's not her Turkish pupil after all. So, yes, when she gets back, yep, cash is missing from her wallet. However, the recording that she made doesn't really show anything happening very clearly. We can see that somebody reaches in there. We can see the kind of blouse that the person is wearing. It's apparently a woman, but it is not clear who this is. Then, and all this is still fairly early in the film, Carla Nowak sees a teacher in the corridor, actually an administrator, in the corridor wearing that blouse. So now she makes an accusation. I have this on my camera, and this is the person who's been doing the stealing. But again, nothing is really quite 100% clear. So now Carla Nowak has made her own accusation against one of her colleagues in the school, and she is now in terrible trouble herself, because it turns out that making this recording with her computer went against school rules and was maybe even illegal. So all of this gets kind of complicated. It's get even more complicated when it turns out that the person she accused of being the thief, the person she accused of taking the money out of her wallet in her jacket, has a son right in Carla's own class. So now he starts accusing Carla of various misdoings. So we have a complicated situation. The movie is not complicated to watch. It's really a very simple web of accusations, suspicions, counter-accusations, and above all, things that just are not really clear. Who is telling the truth? Who is lying? Maybe everyone, maybe no one. What is going on here actually? And we never really find out. And of course, as numerous critics have already pointed out, this movie is not just a drama about individuals in a school. It's a metaphor or a parable or of an allegory for society at large, and certainly not only in Germany. I am an American, and I recognize so many of the things that are discussed and argued about and debated about in this movie as things which are very, very current in American society today. If we think about the reports of school board meetings where people go all berserk at each other, well, this is not about school board meetings, but it's about teachers, and it's about parents and teachers, and it's about parents and teachers and students, and all the ambiguities and suspicions and uncertainties that abound in this kind of situation. The Teacher's Lounge is a beautifully directed movie. It is a beautifully acted movie. I think it gets a little bit ahead of its skis when it gets into the school newspaper, which gets involved in this, the student newspaper, because I didn't quite believe all of the things that the students were able to do with their newspapers. Teachers and administrators do have some power still in schools. But by and large, The Teacher's Lounge is a fascinating movie, and it deals with very, very urgent current issues in sociology in the Western world and probably Eastern world as well, and I highly recommend it. The Teacher's Lounge, a really good movie. And that is my, I hope, not too paranoid and suspicious story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Origin, Vishniac, and The Teacher's Lounge.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.